morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Hey. Well, thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another day of MSDN events and MSDN Radio and talking about technology and what do developers need to know. We got a lot of fun stuff going on this week, and really it's been a busy week. I just spent Friday and Saturday down in St. Louis at the Day of .NET, and we had a really great turnout there. There's a lot of events going on and around. And so to kind of get us kicked off and get us into the show today, I want to introduce, we have a co-host with me today, which is Mithun Dhar. Mithun, are you there?
Hey, Mike. How's it going? I am all here.
You are always there. You're always there for me, aren't you?
Always.
You're going to make things happen. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's been great. So the whole of last week in Seattle was Geek Week. What that essentially means is there were back-to-back-to-back events every day. We had an Eastside networking event. We had a two-day premier web conference event. It was almost like a Web 2.0 event, mostly focused on influencers and bloggers from all around the world. It's called GnomeDex. If you guys get a chance, you should check out our website. They have a lot of recordings and pictures, and it was a great event. And then prior to that, we had a lot going on in the last week in Seattle.
Been just crazy busy, have you?
Totally crazy busy.
Well, hey, I saw on the subscriber downloads that the .NET 4.0 for Windows embedded standard is now released and updated. So that's kind of a neat thing to go out and just check and see. I'd like to see what's new and what are we providing. There's so many releases of different products. It's like, wow, how do you keep up with it all?
Then tell me about it.
So I saw Light Switch has come out. Do you want to just mention Light Switch for a second, which is the product for going out and being able to manage the deployment of small deployments and things?
Sure. I think we have someone from Light Switch come and talk to us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Light Switch just went into beta, and if you guys are designers and you want to start developing, I think Light Switch offers a very good medium. Or if you're a total newbie into the programming side of things, I think Light Switch offers a good way to get started write your first business application. The good thing about Light Switch, at least from what I've seen, is all of it is very extensible, right? Like you take it, you write your application, but when it's time to scale, the underlying components are completely scalable, and it's got a very good framework. So I've written a full blog post on it. So if you guys have some time, check it out. That's msdn.blogs.com, Mithun D.
So blogs.msdn.com/MithunD.
/MithunD, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I guess it's on the rotating deck that you put as well.
Yeah. Well, the reason we are doing the show today, or the goal of today's show, our guest is Dan Waters, who is one of your colleagues out there in the West region. He comes to us from down in Dallas, where he was down there for quite a while, but he's going to be out talking quite a bit about this whole XNA thing. And I know that XNA is really getting to be kind of the hot thing to know. He's a peer of yours down in out in the West region. I think he's in Redmond. Dan, you want to say hi?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's working.
Excellent.
You got to like that. So how's stuff in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's beautiful outside. I'm stuck in a box, but I'm working on great stuff, and it's really exciting. All the excitement around XNA now, because my official job is an academic developer evangelist. So I work with students all across the Pacific Northwest. Previously, I worked down in the Southeast, and my job has been traditionally to focus on the things that interest students, which is not always, WCF or line of business applications and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although that stuff is exciting to me, being a former enterprise developer, For a lot of students, that's not really like, oh yeah, that makes me want to go develop .NET, right?
Right.
The stuff that a lot of students want to learn today is really focused around the gaming industry, because I mean, if you ever go and talk at a university, this is something that I do regularly in my job, is go talk to students. And if you just take a quick poll and say, who here is interested in joining the game industry or getting involved in the game industry, you'll get a huge percentage of people that raise their hands and say, yeah, you know, that's something that I've always wanted to do. Because, you know, college students spend the majority of their time playing games.
Well, they should be spending the time studying, so maybe
right,
it's attracting to the general evilness of the world, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, college is stressful, and you got to spend some time blowing up aliens and monsters and everything, right? So
it's a necessary evil.
It is, yeah. So, but I mean, you know, games, you know, they're really cool because they also push and drive kind of the hardware sector as well, right? So, you know, when you're thinking about these high performance games, it's a really exciting, fast paced, changing environment, and it's also a very creative kind of expressive thing. So students find that to be a really interesting thing. And now that we've got the potential to be, you know, making money off of X and A games on the Windows Phone 7 marketplace, it's definitely, you know, starting to turn some heads and create some interest.
I can think of the games I'd like to see.
I know. And then you've written a book on X and A, right?
Yeah, I don't know how relevant it is to today's discussion, but the book I wrote is called Zune Game Development Using XNA 3.0. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you look at the project templates for XNA 4.0, mm-hmm. you don't see Zune projects in there anymore, unfortunately. However, I will say that, you know, the book's like $8 or $9 now on Amazon, and if you're interested in just getting started and learning, you know, how to write good code in XNA and kind of just basically starting from the ground up, the first 5 or 6 chapters of that book are pretty solid, and they include a really good overview of just the, you know, the platform.
Just the whole rigmarole and everything is just going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see any of the sensor stuff or any of the phone specific things that most people are interested in, but it's definitely a good way to kind of get your feet wet with XNA.
Kind of good stuff. Well, we do. The way that MSDN Radio works is we have a phone line people can dial in and participate in the show. And if you're interested, if you've got a question for Dan or a question about anything related to the phone and whatever, we encourage you to join the conversation. You dial in, you let us know you've got a question for the Q&A panel. We'll give you the dial-in number. And then once you've got the dial-in number, you have to press the *8 key. That lets us know that you're ready to ask a question, and then we'll move you out of the listen only, and then you can talk and ask your question. I saw that we had a question from a participant. I don't know if he was able to get his question in or not, but it was basically, can the XNA be used to plot real-time data? You know, so like, suppose I've got information coming in from a sensor and I want to be able to capture it and visualize it and then display it through the XNA features. Is there
You can certainly do that with sensors. And if you're talking about real-time data, like connecting to a data source someplace like Azure, you know, you can definitely do things with web requests that make that possible. But, you know.
So it'll also talk across the service boundaries and allow you to kind of see, okay, here's how all these things are working and what's new and interesting?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of possibilities with XNA. I would definitely say that, for the most part, XNA is a really strong game platform.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're considering making, you know, a more traditional app, then I would definitely look at Silverlight. But as far as games go, XNA is hands down one of the, you know, most quickly learnable platforms that I've ever encountered. So it's there's a lot of possibilities. The framework is great, and it just seems to get better.
So what does someone do when they want to try out XNA and start working with it?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend doing would be downloading the Windows Phone 7 developer tools, because they include all of the project templates for, you know, Xbox games, PC games, et cetera. So, you know, it's all XNA 4. So all of that you can download for free at developer.windowsphone.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that's kind of timely is that just today, the XNA team released this absolute wealth of information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you check out their website at creators.xna.com, they've posted this news item that says start creating games for Windows Phone 7 now. And if you're just, you know, just starting out with XNA, you know nothing about it, and you want, you know, some graphical assets that look pretty decent so that you can, you know, whip something together that looks good.
Yeah.
They've got this catapult game. And I had the pleasure of seeing this thing last week before they put it out. But it's a touch-based game where you move your finger to create a vector, and these catapults launch rocks at each other. And you basically learn how to build this game from the ground up. So in this news post, it sort of details the things that they've released for beginning XNA developers. So there's that whole 2D touch game lab. There's a 2D graphics sample, so learning how to do 2D stuff. Particles, sound and music, working with the portrait and landscape orientations on the phone, different types of 2D assets. There's also a full article on working with gestures in XNA, which if you've looked at any of the gesture APIs with XNA, really, really awesome stuff. It just sort of knows, and it's amazing. It's like magic. It's just gesture magic. I don't know how it works, but actually I do. It's all driver-level stuff, so it's super fast, and the API that calls into it makes gestures really easy to use, from tapping, flicking, pinching, zooming, et cetera. And also, there's a really good article on Introduction to C# for people that are Objective-C or Java developers.
Huh?
So if you are in that camp and you're interested in learning more about C#, they're using all of this content as a way to sort of get you into the C# boat as well. So again, all that content is located at creators.xna.com. It just came out today. Ooh. So it's a brand new stuff, and I've looked at it. It's just incredible. So go check it out if you're interested in learning XNA.
So I know that the Creators site has been around for a while, and
yeah.
You know, usually when we were talking about XNA before, it was writing games for two platforms, which was the Xbox, obviously, and then Windows 7, or the Windows platform. But now you've added the phone to it, right?
Yep.
So the Creator samples now have the phone kind of demos, or do they all work across all platforms? So if I build a game, can I run it everywhere?
Well, the thing is, theoretically, yes, but you're going to have to change some things because your phone resolution is 480 by 800.
Right.
And your Xbox 360 resolution is like 1080p.
Right.
You have to accommodate that. You also have to account for different input methods, so controller versus touch accelerometer, that kind of thing. So, but aside from those things, you know, the majority and the core of your game logic can remain the same because it's all C#. And it's all based on the XNA platform. So if you're thinking about portability, you've got really a total of about four platforms that you can target: Xbox 360, PC, Zune HD if you're using XNA 3.1, mm-hmm. and then Phone 7. So quite a lot of coverage there.
So you really do, you learn a skill and you can apply this in a lot of different places.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I've always really enjoyed about XNA is the fact that, you know, that there. C# and just sort of the whole object-oriented stuff in .NET makes it really easy for you to say, hey, I need X functionality in my game, and it becomes very easy to just kind of roll your own functionality if it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it makes it a very creative process. You say, I need this object to represent this particular game object in my world, and then you get into that groove where you're like having so much fun writing object-oriented stuff and then just watching it all come together. So being able to write a game in a nice managed platform like XNA is really, really nice. It's definitely a better experience than writing 100 lines of code just to get a DirectX application to display on the screen, you know?
Oh, yeah. I imagine that it's the kind of thing where, you know, you got to be able to take the skills you've got. And in a game program, I understand that there's a part where you kind of, you know, initialize, load things up, and then you've got a loop that goes through and calls the draw routine and does your business or your logic around it and everything else. Could you, you know, just talk about what's involved in that? I mean, just kind of, for someone who hasn't done XNA, what is it that they're going to have to be able to adapt to or work with?
Okay, well, I can definitely talk about how an XNA game kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start off and you create a blank XNA game, you get all this boilerplate code for you.
Right.
And it's not really complicated code. But there's five or six methods that are in there that probably need some explaining if you're not used to XNA. So obviously the first thing that you get is a constructor. Your game is of type Microsoft.xna.framework.game. And this class just knows how to run itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it has all these methods in it that you can override and do new things with. But you've got the constructor where you set up things like the graphics device. You have an initialize method where you can set your scores and reset object positions and things like that, just sort of set their initial states. You have a load content method, which allows you to pull in things from the content pipeline, which is kind of a more detailed topic, but in a nutshell, basically the content pipeline lets you pull in assets, you know, 3D assets, 2D graphics, sounds from source. It compiles them down at compile time into this nicely serialized format, and then you load them in at runtime in this load content method. It's super easy to get content in thanks to the content pipeline. Mm-hmm. And then you get this sort of tandem operation between these other two methods, update and draw. And update on the phone runs at 30 frames a second, at least that's the target. The draw method runs as fast as possible. So even if draw is running at faster than 30 frames a second, it's still only drawing at a pace of 30 frames a second because that's how often the game is being updated. So that's how you kind of lock down the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. And then so the things that would go in the update method would be, collision detection, playing audio, basically any of your game logic that affects the positions and states of your various objects in the game. Whereas the things that would go in the draw method would be strictly drawing code, things that draw 3D models or things that draw 2D sprites, heads-up displays, things like that. And then lastly, you have an unload content method. And what that does is it gives you a place to sort of clean up after yourself any resources that you may have allocated outside of the content pipeline. That's the place where you would take care of that stuff. And that's basically how the game works. I mean, there's kind of other things that you can do to make it cooler, like you can add game components, which are like mini games that update themselves. And so, you know, if you can make a heads-up display out of a drawable game component and have that just run by itself. So there's lots of ways to make the game pretty and cohesive and modular.
Okay. Well, there's a question in the queue asking if you've got a game, can you talk across different devices and kind of like, so suppose you've got a game that's partly running on the Xbox and partly off the phone, and maybe you want to have some extra special controllers or something like that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of talking across platforms, so if you're thinking specifically about, playing on the Xbox versus the Windows Phone 7, I don't think there's anything that exists right now that allows you to do that. I really can't speculate on the future of that, but there's definitely ways to interact with different platforms. You know, you could talk to a REST API or something to talk to other devices, but there's no really, there's no real built-in functionality.
Okay. Okay. There's another question here, and it's talking about, so I'm a Silverlight developer. How can I use some of the Silverlight APIs and talk to the XNA platform and back and forth? Is that going to work or along those lines?
You can definitely use some. So there is actually an overlap with some of the APIs. So, for example, if you're a Silverlight developer and you want to use those sweet XNA gesture APIs that I mentioned earlier, you can definitely do that. Basically, you have to add a reference to one of the XNA libraries, which I think is microsoft.xna.framework.input.touch, if I'm not mistaken. And that gives you all the access to the gesture APIs, and yes, you can use them in Silverlight. The things that you can't really share are UI-based. So if you're trying to bring in Silverlight controls into an XNA game, I seriously doubt you're going to be able to have a lot of success with that. But in terms of the lower-level stuff, I mean, most of the device stuff, like especially GPS, is actually in these, generic namespaces like system.devices.set, or I forget exactly what they are, but they're part of the system-based namespace. So,
okay.
But yeah, there is definitely some overlap.
Okay. So the services and the calls and the ability to work with information and the rest of that from an XA game is there, and it's just a matter of going out and getting the code put together to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So the things that you can use in either ones, sensors, media, data, location, all of those things are shareable across both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a question from Live Meeting, Dan. So the question is, what is the best material or books or URLs to learn for XNA, basically to write Windows Phone applications?
Well, for that question, I'm going to turn right back around and point at that excellent content that the XNA team just released today.
Okay.
Again, the website there is creators.xna.com, and just check for their latest news post. It says something about getting started for Windows Phone 7, and we're talking ground up stuff with building a full project sort of, you know, hand-holding, walking you through it to teach you all about this platform, which is just totally awesome. And some of the best content that we've seen really for any product. I mean, it's really, really well-done stuff. So highly recommend that you check that out.
Awesome. So that is creators.xna.com, right?
Creators.xna.com, that's right.
And the other place to always go is just to msbn.microsoft.com for just kind of general developer stuff too. So we had a number of questions in the queue, and I don't know if people are dialed in and just forgot, but you just press a *8, and then we know that you've got a question on the dial-in lines as well. We do have a question from, I believe this is down in South America, asking about what processor is used in the Xbox, and is it Intel, AMD, and does it have the same 3D render performance that you would expect out of you know, a comparable PC?
So Xbox development for me is not a sort of highlight of what I'm working on. I'm really more focused on kind of the mobile side of things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so I don't know too much about the internal specifications of the Xbox 360, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, there's a lot of platforms and a lot of ground to cover. So what do you like about the phone approach? What is it that's got you excited? What things have you seen? That one of the Engadget videos I saw last week, they've got the Xbox experience, and they've got their little avatar, and they shake it, and he falls down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long until we see that?
Sorry?
How long until I can do that?
Well, so one of the things that you got to know about XNA development is there are some things that are only available to developers that are part of Microsoft's managed portfolio of developers. And, you know, that's really sort of a situation that's forged through personal relationships and previously awesome games. So there's no reason why an indie game developer can't become a part of that portfolio. Mm-hmm. But it takes kind of an established relationship with Microsoft. So once you're part of this, you know, group of folks, then that gives you extra special API access to do even cooler things with XNA, specifically around tying into Xbox Live. So the avatar support that you've got today on the Xbox 360 is made available on the phone to those managed portfolio developers. Mm-hmm. Other things like Xbox Live turn-based notification systems. I mean, there's ways to do that now on the phone, but having it built into Xbox Live and having those APIs available to you is something that's only available to those managed developers.
Okay. So if they want to get into that as an indie, then they would go through an application process and certification kind of?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a whole process. There's going to be more information about that now. Most of the folks that are in the managed portfolio right now have, you know, had a relationship with Microsoft that's been, you know, started long ago through really successful indie games or Xbox Live Arcade published games, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So
another thing I'll mention is that if you guys have seen the, you know, the videos on Engadget of some of the games that exist today, like The Harvest, mm-hmm. which is that's a game built by Luma Arcade and published through Microsoft Game Studios, looks totally amazing. I mean, for a phone, you know, you're looking at really, you know, really great levels of detail with lighting, really good touch interface, and, you know, things like destructible terrain, which is, you know, not one of the easiest things to do. The thing to note is that these are games that are built with the exact same tool set that developers have access to, with the exception of a couple of things like Xbox Live Achievements, which, again, is part of that managed portfolio side of things. But if you want to look at, you know, sort of what the potential is for really high-end, great-looking 3D games, you know, go look at one of those videos for The Harvest and just see, yeah, this is something that I can go out and build with the existing tool set today.
So is The Harvest game like an example that you can download or like a starter kit? Or what are the starter kits that are available?
Well, there are definitely starter kits out there for Windows Phone 7, again, on creators.xna.com.
Yep.
The Harvest is one of our commercial games, so it's not something that you're going to be able to go and download and poke through the source code.
Can't get the code from that one. But you can get similar things, though, like Space War or Racing Game and some of those other
things. Yeah, and those are things you're going to have access to the source code for. But, you know, those sort of, you know, third-party games that are going to be eventually on the marketplace. You know, again, if you've seen, there's a whole list of, you know, games that we're going to have at launch, which is pretty nice. I mean, there's Halo Waypoint, which is coming out. There's another Crackdown. version for mobile that's coming out. There's a whole list on the Xbox website that you can see what our portfolio of games is going to look like at launch, and it's pretty impressive. You know, we're going to have some pretty nice games out for the phone.
So from what I can hear, the game experience will be almost unparalleled compared to, you know, any other competing platform that is out there.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it's way up there. I mean, in terms of, you know, really fun little 2D games, I mean, the Catapult game that the XNA team has built as part of their samples is really impressive. Hold on, just lost my train of thought. Something happened in my office.
Oh.
somebody just walked by and was like, hey. But no, I mean, I've had the opportunity to play with that Harvest game. I've actually got it running on my phone, and it's really, really nice. It's gorgeous. It performs really well, which is one thing that people ask about a lot. You know, people say, hey, XNA is managed code. It can't possibly run anywhere near as fast as native code. But at some point, you know, you got to make that trade-off between ease of development versus performance. And really, the performance hits that you take on XNA are not that bad. The things that are going to kill you on XNA development are things that utilize the CPU heavily. So just make a mental note, all you XNA developers out there, that anything you can offload to the graphics chip is basically free.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hey, we got about 3 to 5 minutes left, depending on how many questions are in the queue and people that haven't pressed star 8 to let us know that you got a question. If you do, do it now. You've got time for your question. But there's one that's in the queue here, and it's asking about the version of the game studio. Well, they've got version 3.1. Do they have to download the version 4 to work on the phone?
Yes, XNA 4.0 is the only version of XNA that supports the phone. Again, that is downloadable from developer.windowsphone.com. That's linked to from the XNA site as well. And it's a real simple download. It downloads itself and installs itself into your existing installation of VS 2010.
Okay.
And we'll have a ton of resources coming out on msdn.com as well. So just keep an eye open. My Dan and I, all of us blog, so keep an eye open on our blogs as well, because we'll put out the information, a collated list of information there as well.
Well, Mathun, you've been busy doing a bunch of Firestarter events and other things around the phone. So people can also be looking for those events to figure out how to get started and actually do some hands-on stuff, right?
Absolutely. And if you actually go to msdnevents.com, a list of events are already posted. Where around the country, we'll be doing events for Windows Phone. So it's free training. Register and show up and, you know, get a lot of free training.
That's right. We're doing Windows Phone boot camps in my neck of the woods, and we've been out doing these in cities across the central region, the middle of the country. We'll be updating msdnevents.com with more event information as it gets set up and configured. Hey, one last question here, and it had to do with what version of Visual Studio do you have to have? Ultimate in order to be able to run this plugin for the Xbox, or does any version work?
You could be using the Windows Phone Developer Tools with Express if you wanted to, the free version of Visual Studio. So it's not a SKU limited thing. You can just download the Developer Tools and it will install into whatever you've got. Basically the different versions of VS are just, you know, IDE features. So
designing you can use Express as well, right, Ben?
If you're talking specifically about Blend for Silverlight, actually, there's a free version of Blend 4 that comes specifically for the phone with that download as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Okay. Well, hey, there's a if you did participate in the live meeting and registered, there is a survey online that you can fill out and tell us what you thought of today, and also give us some feedback of things you'd like to see. Dan, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate having the chance to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and Mathun, you're going to be taking over the show next week. We're working on the details for that show, but you'll be able to register for it out at bit.ly.com/msdnradio-17. We'll have the link up for that in probably in the next couple hours, and we will have more details on that show. So
fantastic.
So if you're looking for more information about what's going on, how can developers learn what they need to know, join us for MSDN Radio. We do this every week. So thank you for joining us. And with that, we'll see you next week.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.